What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Tournament time is here, and there's nothing like basketball in March.
Tons of tournament games with high stakes and high drama, all competing to cut down the nets as national champs.
And thanks to our partners at DraftKings, it's about to get even bigger. All new customers who bet just $5 will get $150 in bonus bets instantly.
Want to know what you can do with your $150 in bonus bets? Stand on the action and use your bonus bets on DraftKings same game parlays for a shot at an even bigger payout.
You fill out your bracket, place your bets, and see who will rise to the top with DraftKings Sportsbook.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Sign up using promo code SMOKE and bet just $5 on any wager and get $150 in bonus bets instantly. That's promo code SMOKE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
If you've been listening to All the Smoke or All the Smoke Unplugged, you know we're really high on women's basketball. The talents and the confidence these women have are making this year's tournament a must-watch, and games are being played all around the country. The best way to track the schedule and get the tickets is with Game Time. I just pulled up the app, and I see that there's women's games in LA this week. Or when I'm traveling, I can see which games are near my location, and I can easily see the whole NCAA tournament schedule. Game Time has the best layout, and it makes it so easy. I'm always checking the Game Time app for upcoming events. Like Offset is in town this weekend, and our guy Busta Rhymes will be in California later this month. And so will the greats like Lauryn Hill. Some concerts aren't to be missed. And I keep up with all the tours on Game Time. I know I'm getting a view of the stage I expect because I can see the view of my seats before I even buy the tickets. And Game Time picks the seats for the best prices. Download the Game Time app, create an account using code SMOKE for $20 off your first purchase. That's code SMOKE and $20 off your first purchase. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices, guaranteed.
Welcome back, All-Star 2024, Indiana.
Yeah.
Indianapolis.
Yep, we here.
Your old stomping grounds.
And it stopped snowing, so it's a beautiful day.
Yeah, we had a good day yesterday. Some great guests.
We got a bucket episode.
But I'm excited about this one because, you know, growing up in Northern California, I got a chance to see him play from the beginning when he got traded to Sacramento and didn't necessarily want to go. But the way he kind of changed the thinking there. And to me, one of the most underappreciated players, I think, in the history of the game.
Pure
the way this
scores.
Man could score the ball and his accolades and how his peers respected him, though. I think that's what's most important. Yeah. But welcome to the show, man. Mitch Richmond.
Thank you, brother. Thank
Mitch,
you.
We appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
Rock. I mean, again, decorated career, six-time All-Star, five-time All-NBA, won a ring with the Lakers in 2002. Congratulations on the Hall of Fame, 2014 nomination. How's life? What's going on with you these days?
Man, life is good, man. Just trying to stay out of the way. Mm-hmm. You know, we always run into you everywhere.
Yeah.
But just enjoying life, man, and enjoying the freedom life, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Obviously, one of the best scorers ever. Averaged 20 points or more your first 10 seasons. There's a very short list of people who did that.
Buckets.
What was your philosophy on scoring?
I think for me, you know, I just wanted to always be aggressive and be consistent. So I think I took it on myself. I think my first year getting Rookie of the Year and going into that summer, you always hear about second-year jinx, not being prepared the second mm-hmm. year, and falling off. So I think that summer, man, I just worked my butt off not to let that happen. And then it just became a habit to try to add something. Because when I first came into the league, I wasn't a shooter. You know what I mean? I was.
That's hard to believe.
Yeah, I was attacking the rim, and people didn't know I was a dunker. My first
yeah,
he two or
has
three
some
years.
Hops. Yeah.
And so I posted up a lot. I was a slasher, and then you know, I just started working on my 3-point shot and started working on my outside game, and that's kind of helped me throughout my career.
But also, I mean, as much as you scored, you played defense too.
Yes.
That was something you definitely hung your hat
didn't
on.
Didn't get a credit.
No, you didn't, but you got praised by one of the greatest.
Yes.
You know, Michael Jordan quoted, "Mitch is the closest thing I've watched to myself in the mirror," mm-hmm. and that was on both ends of the ball.
Right.
And
right.
that was back when guys went on both sides of the ball. So when you hear, arguably, Michael Jordan, the greatest players to ever say it, when, like I said, although I feel like you've been overlooked, the people you played against and people who know the game respect you. But when you hear someone like Mike say that about you, what did you think?
Oh, man, it was very special. They're very special to even hear from my peers because I was in Sacramento at the time mm-hmm. and wasn't getting a lot of play.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody on the East Coast, you know, our games was coming on at 11, 12 yeah. o'clock and mm-hmm. they couldn't really see it. And they weren't playing Sacramento at the time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
so it was very difficult for me to come from Golden State that we were probably two or three players away. I mean, probably one player away and then going to Sacramento rebuilding.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really hard to handle that trade. But I just tried to be consistent as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't look at the scoreboard. I remember that I had to continue to keep playing hard. And the only way I can do that is just don't look at the scoreboard because we wasn't winning no games mm-hmm. at that time. So I just wanted to try to play hard, mm-hmm. keep going.
Do you remember one time in practice in Golden State when it was there when we was practicing or shooting something?
Yeah.
And you gave me a key to average 20.
Yes.
You made it simplify it for me. He's like,
yeah.
Stack, just think about it. Five points a quarter.
Yes.
Just get five a quarter.
That's right.
And you know, and I'm playing basketball all the time, and I never just thought about like how easy it is to get 5 points a quarter,
right,
bro.
Right.
Two buckets and a free throw. That's easy.
Right. That's right.
But you pull me to like, Jack. 5 points a quarter, that's all you got to do. You're going to get rebounds, but 5 points a quarter.
Right.
Ever since then, I'm like, it's simplified for me. So when I'm in a game, I'm like, getting 20 points ain't nothing no more.
Right, right. Especially, lad, you got the ball in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get to the free throw line, it really sometimes when you know, you're not having a great shooting night, but sometimes when you get to the free throw line, it really kind of gets you back in the mm-hmm. groove.
And you can get 10 attempts from the
line.
You
can get 10 attempts from the line. And so I think that was a big part of my game of doing that.
Yeah. Raised by your mom and grandpa, you played football growing up in Fort Lauderdale.
Right.
You just said you grew up with Michael Irvin and some other guys. What was it like growing up in Fort Lauderdale and playing football, being such a cold motherfucking basketball?
Well, I, you know, in Florida, man, you grow up, you know,
football
in my crib, I had a football in my crib.
Everybody.
I mean, everybody. You know what I mean? And started playing football, and football was my number one sport. I didn't start playing basketball until the 10th grade.
Really?
Yeah, to the 10th grade and went out for the team. Well, ninth grade, I went out for the team, but I ain't had no grades at that time. You know what I mean? Because I was rebelling. My mom was moving and everything. But went out for the 10th grade, made the team, and the rest was history. I loved it. Never went back to football and enjoyed it and just kept climbing from there.
Who was around? I mean, you mentioned Michael Irvin. Any other people that went pro in other sports?
Yeah, man. It was Lorenzo White, who played for Michigan State and then went to Houston, I think, at the time, Houston Oilers. We had Benny and Brian Blades.
Both brothers.
You know, Vernon Maxwell was around.
D-Max
was around at that time. Dion was a little bit more up north, but he was there. Gary Sheffield. All in Florida. It was all Florida boys.
Yeah. Man. What position you played in football?
I played defensive end and tight end.
Okay. So we just talking about grades. You didn't love school at first. But it had to click at some point. Right. When did it click?
Well, I loved school, but I was rebelling because my mom kept moving.
Yeah.
And I wanted to, you know, go back where my friends were when they were getting ready to go to high school. So I was like, man, I ain't going to go to school because I want to go back over that way. Mm-hmm. And so it took me probably a couple of years to kind of get that under my belt. But my mom moved back to Fort Lauderdale because I moved to Deerfield at the time where Eddie Jones and all of them from. And so I moved back to Fort Lauderdale. That's when I started saying, man, I went out for the basketball team, made the team my ninth grade year, but they cut me. So I said, your mom, I really want to play basketball now, but I need to go back to Florida. And I show you, if I can get good grades and I show you that I can change. Mm-hmm. And I, man, I had to go to night school, day school, vocational school, everything to get prepared for my 10th grade year.
You know, Jalen Brunson said something yesterday about how moving around and bouncing around a lot with his dad affected him too.
No question about it, because you know, you grow up with that unit, and when you're a young kid, you go into a whole other environment. You have to really kind of start, you know, getting friends again.
Yeah. Friends are so important when you're younger, though. So important when you're younger.
And we all know that now when you have kids.
Right,
right.
At some point in time, when they get to a certain age, you got to stop.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You got to slow up and then let them, you know, gather their friends or whatever and get comfortable with my life. Yeah.
We all have a certain music or soundtrack in our head that's like the soundtrack of our life.
Yes.
You are big into R&B.
Yes.
What role did music play in your life?
I mean, I think it plays a big role, man. I mean, just growing up with Run DMC, you know, watching them and Jada Kiss, you know, was a little younger, but great music, Kool Moe Dee.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Like LL.
Classic.
So, I mean, that music gets you fired up and pumped. And so, you know, you use it for different things. You know, it's great.
At the Mobley Community College, what kind of experience was that to shape you into the player you end up being?
Yeah, man. So in high school, I played the center and four position. And so
been playing small ball.
right. So I was posted up. That's all I was doing. At that time, I was just dunking and just playing hard. Coming from football to basketball, I felt like it really helped me because I was aggressive and really didn't have all my skills at the time, but I knew how to play hard. And so when I went to Moberly, I really had to start playing the two guard position. Mm-hmm. I can remember University of Arkansas was recruiting me. That's when they had Alvin Robinson, Big Joe Klein, and they were playing Houston. And I loved Houston team with Elijah Wan,
Drexler,
and all those guys. So I went to the game on my recruiting trip, and I wanted to get to the game early to see, you know, the large one them in the dunk, because that's like a pro dunk. You know, they was dunking all in the warm-up lines. And so when I saw Olajuwon come out and I'm playing the four position in high school, I'm like, I'm not ready. I'm like, oh, heck no.
Hold your ball.
Yeah, I'm like, man, I'm not ready. And so I end up going to Moberly and working every summer. I didn't go back home. And I had to start working on my outside skills, my guard skills. And so it took me a while because I had to change my shot. I used to shoot on the side. My coach was making me shoot with the ball at my forehead. So it took me about a good 2 years to develop that, and it worked out.
And then working out.
Yeah.
And then off to K-State?
Yep.
What was that experience like?
I really didn't want to go to K-State, you know what I mean? But my coach at the time was Dana Auburn, who coaches Oregon. And he wanted to get out of junior college. Kansas State at the time was offering him an assistant job. And he convinced me.
Package deal.
Yeah, package deal, you know, to go to K-State. At that time, my mom loved him. And he took, you know, he made sure that I was doing my books and doing everything when I was in junior college. So, and Lon Kruger at the time was getting the job at Kansas State. Mm-hmm. And so he said, I'll build the whole team around you because you're coming from JUCO. Mm. You know, you're going to some other system. They already have players yeah. there. So you come here, I build the whole team around you. And yeah, I went there and then, yeah, man, everything happened.
Ended up working.
Yeah, it worked out. It worked out. It worked out.
A lot of talent before in that JUCO circuit, though. I mean,
my God.
Larry Johnson.
Oh, Larry Johnson was in there. Yeah. Yes. You remember, yep, Sean Kemp. Sean Kemp was a little later than me. Uh-huh. But they remember how they had Boo Harvey. Remember
yeah.
Boo Harvey and all that went to St. John's. Yeah. They had some players there. Uh-huh. Ricky Grace
yeah.
at that time. But yeah, now you have what that prep school.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
At the time, everybody was going JUCO.
Okay.
So JUCO had Harvey Grant was yeah. in there as well. So JUCO was loaded, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every night was loaded. Yeah, yeah. We had my team. I mean, we went 69-8 my 2 years there. And I mean, I averaged 11 points my 10 points my first year, 16 points my second year. It was a development. You know what I mean? But we had seven guys in double figures. So we had a crew. Our leading scorer was averaging like 13 points.
Mm. So everyone put
so everybody yeah. played. Yeah, we had a guy by the name of, what was his name? But he played at Missouri. He was the rookie of the year in Missouri. He flunked out. He was coming to the JUCO. He was 6'8", point guard. And our team was so loaded, he came off the bench.
Oh, really? Mm.
So we had a great squad.
Yeah, really a lot deep. Of people went to JUCO. People yeah. don't even know a lot of people.
Yeah. Met a lot of people.
That was a heavy route early
yeah,
on.
Yeah.
1988, the Olympics. Mm-hmm. The last time it was all college players. Mm-hmm. What was that experience like for you?
It was great to get on the Olympic team. I think the experience we could have definitely played a little better. I think we didn't use our talents as we should have. Mm-hmm. You know, at that time, John Thompson was a boy. He was
big man,
busting our balls.
Oh,
man.
Really?
he had us working so hard, man. We didn't really work on shooting because you ever seen his team? They were all about defense.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a young team. But at that time, the European team had caught up, and they had Šarūnas Marcelionis, they had Sabonis, mm-hmm. they had Divac, all of those guys. They've been playing together for about eight, 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
We had got together for a couple months,
right.
and they were grown men mm-hmm. at that time. And so, yeah, we lost the Olympics in 88. That's when they switched it over and made it start playing back with the pros. Yeah.
Talk to us about Sabonis, because a lot of people don't. We got the older version of Sabonis when he got to league, but I heard he could have been one of the greatest.
Oh, my God, bro. I mean, he could pass. He was unbelievable, had a hook shot, throw passes behind his back. And at that time, he could run a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But head was about this big. I mean,
is he everything Jokic is?
Everything.
The same thing?
Everything and bigger.
Yeah.
And bigger. And you couldn't get around him. He was like Shaq.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With all of the skill, he had everything, man. He was a good player.
He was special.
Yeah, he was a good player.
But you got, I mean, obviously, John Thompson coached that team. You had David Robinson, Hersey Hawkins, Dan Marley, Bimbo Coles, to name a few. Any cool off-the-court experience or just being in the Olympic experience?
Man, we had some great experience. I can remember a time where we were having we were playing Egypt, I think. And we had beat Egypt by, I think, 62 points. And we come in the locker room and we high five and we're having a good time. And John Thompson comes in there and says, can I cuss on here?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Sit y'all ass down. Y'all didn't do shit. Put on your practice shit and we go on to practice.
Like, after the game?
After the game. We're like, oh my God.
Oh, John was tripping.
Yeah, and it was kind of that Bobby Knight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that Bobby Knight did that as well, where he would, you know, after games, he would make you go to practice. And we're like, man, come on, man. We want to enjoy it. We want to enjoy this, you know, festivities. But
he wasn't having it.
No, he wasn't having that at all, man.
Big John went
practice. We went to practice, bro.
Wow.
Running. Crazy. I mean, running. Running, bro. We would do this thing called pyramids. So where you would run one time down.
They would ladder.
Yes.
They would go up.
They would ladder to go all the way up to 12.
Fuck that.
And come back. But John's thing was you cannot grab your shorts. Can't bend down. Can't go and, hold onto the wall or to the backboard. If he sees that, we start over.
Ooh.
And so J.R. Reed made us start over a lot.
He almost got beat
up. Yeah, he made us start over a lot. No question about it.
Dream Team 2.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Dream Team 1, when did their thing? You were part of Dream Team 2.
Yes.
In Atlanta. What was Atlanta like, first and foremost? But there was also a bombing at that Olympics, correct?
Yes.
So talk to us about that.
Yeah, that was, I think it was a great time because I never thought I'd be able to have an opportunity to get back because I was on the last team in 88 to lose it. So seeing David Robinson and some of the guys that played with me get an opportunity to get back to the Olympics, man, I never thought I'd get an opportunity, but was playing so well and they called me to be on the team. It was great to be in Atlanta because my family is have family in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. All my family is in from Florida. So there was it was a great opportunity for them to come and see me and be right there in the States.
In the Olympics.
In the Olympics, man. All my friends and family, you know, came down. But the bombing was definitely scary. I can remember being in a hotel shaking and going out to the balcony and seeing the smoke and people running everywhere. So it was a really, really scary moment at the time. We didn't know what was going on, but we gathered together, and you know, the police and everyone kind of protected us and made sure that everything was straight.
I mean, obviously a lot of hype about the Dream Team and it's just due, but you guys have you, G Hill, Shaq, Reggie Miller, Penny, Stockton, Malone. Y'all was loaded too.
Oh, we were loaded.
Talk to us about that team. And obviously we saw what you guys did on off the court, but a lot of people who don't get a chance to play this game, some of the funnest times are off the court, on the bus, in the locker room, the shit talking, the plane flights.
Bro, we had so much fun. I mean, we had a lot of fun. And back then, now if they had cameras back then, I mean,
all bad.
I mean, all bad.
Said the same shit. All bad, man.
Charles Barkley would have been in jail. You know what I mean? Yeah, I can remember we went out somewhere and Charles, he was always a friendly guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll talk to anybody, but then when you disrespect him, you know, and that guy was got a little too drunk, and Charles hit him a little bit.
And then
we got to practice the next day because we went out and all of a sudden we see the police coming in.
Oh shit.
And you know, coach sat us down and
who was the coach of that team?
It was Lenny Wilkins.
Okay.
He sat us down and the police, I can remember the police saying that, hey, like, listen, you guys gotta watch yourself, you know, you gotta be able to walk away. And I remember Charles said, well, y'all gonna be right back here tomorrow. Cause if somebody get in my face, I'm gonna hit him again. I'm gonna hit him again. And we're gonna keep doing it. But yeah, that was a really a fun team though.
Yeah,
really good team.
Fifth pick in the 98 draft.
88
draft, excuse me. And you were told by somebody we know very well who I love dearly, who means the world to me. You were told by him, and let me know what you was thinking after he told you this. Yo, man, you terrible. You need a lot of work.
Oh, man.
Nelly.
Don Nelson.
Don Nelson.
Don Nelson. I can remember coming from the Olympics. You know what I mean? I wanted to get ready and get prepared to play for the season because, you know, the Olympics, we lost. We were like, man, we thought they were going to shoot the plane down, man. We had lost the game. So I go into Golden State, and I didn't sign my contract. So I said, I go over there. Just go to Golden State. And they're running some games. And so I got off the plane. From China, from Seoul, Korea, I mean, tired. But I said, man, I'm going to go and hoop. Went over there and hoop, and he was there. And I guess I played terrible. And he was like, boy, you need a lot of work, man. You terrible. I'm like, what you talk about? I got back on the plane and left. I'm like, man, I ain't signed my contract yet. I'm just trying to come in, you know, and get ready. But, yeah. But Nelly was like that. You know Nelly.
I love Nelly.
Straight man, shooter.
Nelly was a straight shooter.
Mm-hmm. But he believed.
He was crazy.
He believed in you, though.
Oh, he believed in me because he coached me. Back then, we used to have an Orlando Classic.
Summer League?
The Summer League. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right before the draft, and it should get back to that, where it doesn't matter if you're number one or you're number 60, everybody played against each other.
Yeah.
So if you were ranked number one in two guards, you play against the 10 guy that's ranked, and you battle.
Go ahead.
And so Nelly was my coach at the time.
Oh, really?
Never said anything to me. Never knew that I was going to go to Golden State. You know, we would just talk, but he wouldn't. I never knew he was going to draft me. But at that time, they would have, NBA coaches coach the summer league.
Okay.
And so get a feel of the guys, and then you go into the draft. Oh, okay. And so, yeah, he drafted me down, but Nelly was...
You was down there cooking.
Down there cooking, bro. I mean, I think at that time I was supposed to be ranked, like, going in the draft, like, 22. And after that camp, they say I'll be top five.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Cooking boys.
Yeah.
What was your early impression of the town when you got out that open?
Oh, man. Man, I love Oakland, bro.
Man, we know. Oh,
bro. He over here rubbing his knees like, damn.
Hey, look, he rubbing his knees. I'm hitting the ground like, man, I feel it.
Yeah, it's different now, but Oakland was a great city, man. And they embraced that team. Mm-hmm. And you guys know, that's probably one of the funnest place to play.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They don't boo you. You know, they get you up.
They support you.
They support you.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of teams don't do that. That's them in Sacramento as well. But man, we had some great times. And at that time, San Francisco was fun to hang out and do that. And you know, we got history together.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so, yeah, I mean, Oakland was great for me.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't Nick?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Did it bother you when they started abandoning Oakland from professional sports?
Of course, man. Yeah, because, you know, even, you know, they have it over in San Francisco, but you miss.
It's not the same.
Yeah, it's not the same.
It's corporate in San Francisco now.
Yeah. The heart and soul right there.
Yeah, the
in
heart
Oakland,
and soul
man.
Is right there. And they really took care of you. If you played on that team,
yes,
Oakland took care of you, man.
The city loved you.
The hood loved you. San Francisco, I mean, San Jose, all the way down. Hayward, you know, they really supported the team. And so, and they had a big Latino following, man. Yes. That man just really kind of took care of the team and everything.
But I've never seen
Asian too, though.
Yeah. I've never seen a major city lose all of their sports
everything,
teams.
Everything, bro.
It's sad.
Everything. Sad to go there now.
Yeah.
It's really
tough.
Sad. GP around.
What's the first thing you did with your when you got your bread, NBA bread?
I can remember my first check. I put it on my refrigerator.
How much was it, if you don't mind us telling?
About $30,000.
Okay.
Yeah, you know. And it was my first check, and it stayed there for a minute until one of my boys said, man, are you going to put
you
that
cash in there?
Like, man, I'm like, man, I'm just going to look at it.
Okay. I'm just going to look at it.
I'm just going to look at it, man. And, yeah, and my first thing I did, I bought my mom's a house, and then I waited probably another year till I got me something, another 2 years till I got me something. After my third year, then I got me something. Mm-hmm. But I got me an apartment. That time, man, I was living in a hotel at, what is that?
The Marriott?
Right there, by so the airport.
With the practice, or no, the one close to the airport.
Yeah, what's that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know what it is now. It's changed. Yeah, it's like the Homewood Suites now. But
yeah,
I stayed
there for about 6 months.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, until they said, man, can you go and get you a spot?
Took your mom's like, first, though.
Took your mom's first, stayed there. And I mean, I was just hooping, man. Yeah. You know, we just going to do, just enjoyed it. Yep. Just enjoyed it.
Most guys, even some of the top players, they have rookie struggles and they don't come in and mm-hmm. get straight to averaging big numbers. Mm-hmm. Your rookie year, 22 a game. Mm-hmm. What was that feeling like?
Nelly, man. I mean, the way he played and the style he played, he gave me an opportunity to really kind of showcase my talents, and he just let me go. Mm-hmm. And we played, just like you're saying, how they playing now, we played a motion offense. And at times he would come in the locker room and say, listen, we're not going to run any plays unless you guys don't play amongst each other and pass the ball. He said, I'm only going to call plays because it was still a set offense, but it was a motion offense. And so he said we would practice that for days, man. And at that time we had, you know, 30 days straight. A tour day.
Yeah, crazy. I remember.
You know what I mean?
Training camp was real.
It was crazy. So we would, because we knew we were going to play Denver, and Denver in the altitude, you had to be ready. Mm-hmm. And they run like this. So he would, you know, he would get us prepared, man, and we played a motion, and we had Chris, and then Tim came a little later. Mm-hmm. But we shared the ball. And that was my favorite team that I played with. It was kind of like you guys' team.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It was that We Believe team. Mm-hmm. You know, you
identical.
Guys,
yeah.
Identical, man. You guys mm-hmm. got along. That's why we went and got you guys. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's why we went and got you guys, you know. And I got a good story about that.
Go ahead and tell us.
All right. Well, at the time, we had, and no knock on the other players, but we had Don Levy and Troy Murphy. Yep. We had fine players, but we didn't have that. We didn't have that toughness.
He wasn't even there yet.
Yeah,
he wasn't there yet.
No. I came that season.
He came mm-hmm. during that season. Yeah. And we didn't have that toughness at the time. And you know, you had some trouble over there in Indiana.
Major trouble.
Out here.
It's right here where we at. Right
here where we at.
Yeah. Not too far from here.
you had some trouble in Indiana, and it was a perfect time. And I was working in the front office at the time, special assistant to Chris Muller.
Yes.
And it was a great opportunity for us to really kind of go after you. Then we were going to get you and Al Harrington.
Yep.
And we needed toughness, man. We felt like we had a lot of talent, but nobody was scared of us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so when you had your situation, man, we pursued you right away. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Oh, he carries guns. Let's go get him.
Thank you.
We need that.
Yeah. We said we pursued it right away. I said, sometimes, you know, you need another chain of scenery.
Yes. And that's exactly what I needed.
And no question. And then when you came to Oakland, the city embraced you.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
I felt at home.
You felt at home, man. You felt at home. The city embraced you. We felt like we had a three-headed monster at that time mm-hmm. because we had Barron that was, you know, trying to get healthy. Mm-hmm. We had Monte Ellis coming.
Guaranteed 20.
Guaranteed 20.
Jay Rich.
And then we had you as well.
And
then
Rich.
we grabbed Matt.
Yep.
And Matt, coach loved you because we had Rod Higgins years before uh-huh. that kind of played the four position uh-huh. that can pull the defense out. Mm-hmm. He remember when you got there, he was like, shoot threes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I want you to shoot. That's all you were doing in practice. Shoot threes.
But before that happened, so mm-hmm. I was a late invite to camp.
That's
so this
right.
is fresh out of getting traded to Philly with Webb and not playing. So I don't mm-hmm. know if I'm thinking about going to try to play football. And
that's
I remember Barron called me. He's like, hey, we got an open gym today. Come down. I'm at the crib in Sacramento. So I drive down 2 hours. And similar to like you said, Nelly was upstairs watching.
Yep.
And I played well, and he came down. He's like, where are you going to camp, son? And put his arm around me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know yet, coach. He's like, well, if you play the way you play today, I can't promise you nothing, but I'm going to give you a chance. He's like, we have a full roster, and we have all of our camp invites, but if you come and do what you did today, I'll give you a chance. I'm like, shit. So I went from the last person invited.
Yep.
Like, I wasn't even invited. Last person to get in there, beat everyone out. And from what I heard, that I was playing well enough that you felt like you can get rid of Dunleavy and Troy and go get some more.
And that's what we did.
Yeah,
and that's what we did because you wasn't even on the roster spot. Mm-hmm. And we had to make room for it. Mm-hmm. But I tell you a good story. We were playing Houston, when that We Believe team, mm-hmm. and Jack, it was your birthday.
You remember this? We had a red party.
Yeah, you had a red party. And so we win the game.
You remember you had a red
you remember
too.
This? Everybody had a red. Oh, my God. And so we played a game, had a good game. So now me, Nelly, Chris, we all sitting in the lobby, right, after the game. We having a good time. We sitting in the lobby, having a drink. All of a sudden, we look towards the elevator. You and the whole team.
All red.
Coming out. We're like, oh, God. Nah, oh, God. No. Where are they going? Where are they going, man? It's 11:30. Where are they going? So you come over. Everybody come over. You know, that team was so well.
Together.
You know, yeah, it was together, man. Mm-hmm. And we all felt like a family. Mm-hmm. But I can remember you coming over. And we're like, yeah, man, it's my birthday, man. I'm taking all the guys out, man. We're going for my birthday. We're like, okay, cool, man. Just be
careful.
Yeah, be careful. So you guys start walking away. You walk away, you turn around, you come back, you go, hey, and by the way, hey, I got him. We like, oh, God. Like, you got him?
You got him
out of all the people? Like, oh, my God, please. We ain't going to get no sleep tonight.
We wasn't worried until you came back and said that.
Yeah, when you came back and said that, we like, oh, Lord have mercy. No. Oh, Jack got him? We didn't go to sleep that night.
Hey, but that team was funny from a standpoint of Nelly kind of once Jack infiltrated and got in and knew where he was about. Like, this is before cannabis was obviously, still, but Nelly didn't care. Like, Nelly's just like, whatever you guys feel like you need to do to be ready. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He would try to hurry up and get our drug test done.
Yes.
We went up to his house and people think it was a joke, but it was for real. Like, the shit after the playoffs, he told us that Woody Harrelson's in the back rolling doobies and go smoke with him. I'm just like, this is our head coach talking to us, bro.
Nelly
and
really
another story. So the We Believe team beat Dallas in the first round, put me, Jack, and BD all on the same floor and put the big gym fan at the end of the hallway. Remember the big-ass gym fan that used to blow cool air back in the day? Nelly put a gym fan on our floor because he knew he was going to be smoking in Utah. Man. Like, Nelly was so different.
Yeah, he was different.
And but he believed in you, though. Like, no coach made me a captain. As soon as I got there, he made me a captain.
That's
like, the belief he put in you was like no
way,
other.
Man.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really a good team, and we would always get calls with you guys in the city.
Oh yeah,
every
night
they in the city. We were like, they're gonna be all right.
They took care of us, like you said.
They said they're gonna take care of us.
We didn't have one problem in the city.
No, they took care of you guys.
From San Francisco to Oakland,
that's right.
Real quick, since you were in management, how close? Or because we've talked to Kevin Garnett about it, of trying to go out and get the KG situation after the We Believe situation.
Was it real, Mitch?
Bro, it was so real. Let me say something to you, man. I think that was the downfall
of everything.
Of everything.
Yeah.
Because we had KG, and KG wanted to come. And we like, man, that's all we need. I mean,
what?
We need KG.
Can you imagine that?
We're going to keep the core of our guys. And we can remember, like we talked about it, and they said, no, we can't do it. This was draft day. And our pick was coming up, and I can remember it, man. It was like we had him in our hands, and I think at that time they were worried about a contract situation or have to put up like a little bit more money. But we're like, listen, we can make that back if we get KG. You can set ticket sales and say, hey, 5 years out.
Yes,
you know what I mean.
And, get all that back,
bro. That was a hard one, and that's when he went to Boston.
Yeah, and then we lost.
And then BD left.
No, Jay Rich.
We lost Brandon Wright from night.
For right? Jason Richardson.
Yeah. That's right.
But we wouldn't have got Brandon Wright if we would have got KG.
Yeah.
It was so real, man. Mm. It was so, and he wanted to come to Golden State. And how we played and how you guys
that's
played.
That's all we needed.
That's all y'all needed.
He met his fire with our burntness.
Exactly. Exactly. And with y'all, with fire with the burntness?
Yeah, because you know, we always burnt out. The whole team was burnt out. You just mentioned Chris Mullin. When we was playing, like we talked about, y'all was still playing.
That's right.
And we used to see him shoot all the time. How good was Chris Mullin?
Chris was awesome, man. I mean, he definitely helped my game by coming there because his work ethic. You know, I thought I worked, but I wasn't working on the aspect of my game, what he was doing. He was shooting constantly, man. So we started shooting 600, 700 shots a day.
Oof,
and we wouldn't just take 600, 700. We would make 600, 700. At that time, we had Mark Grabo, who was one of the strength and conditioning coaches. And
G.
That's right, G. It would be me, him, and Rod Higgins. And man, we would shoot all summer. Mm-hmm. I mean, shoot. And he definitely, that's why I became a shooter, because, mm-hmm. you know, I would work with him.
So now I'm just, let me go off. Rod Higgins.
Yes.
Now I see how I got to Charlotte.
Yes. Yes.
Nas, okay, Nas yes. makes, that's why that trade happened so easy.
Exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
Nas all makes
we left, I mean, he left us, and that was, then again, I'm saying that was the our downfall.
For everything.
For everything. Losing Rod, didn't get the KG thing, yep. and then it was just, it just kind of counterpulsed from there. But yeah, Rod loved you. So Rod was a big part of you going to over there.
Yeah, and that was my best year after that.
Yeah.
First year in mm-hmm. Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Talk about Run TMC, how y'all took over the culture.
Right.
How was that?
And how did the name come about?
Being rock stars.
Yeah, we were trying to find a name. I think we did a, silent something with the fans. And then they just told the fans to just send in names. Mm-hmm. A guy came up with the Run TMC name, the Run DMC.
Right. Yeah.
And from there, man, it was history. It really matched up with what we were doing. Mm-hmm. And at that time, you know, Tim Hardaway, man, he was tough to deal with, mm-hmm. bro. You know what I mean? And he was a willing passer. Mm-hmm. So only thing we wanted to do, just run the floor, he'll get it to you. Mm-hmm. And so we just start really having a great time playing that fast pace. And we just needed a couple more pieces, man. Mm-hmm. We felt like we could have been there. And mm-hmm. you know, now, just like Golden State, with Clay and Curry, they kept that unit together.
Yeah.
And anytime someone keeps the unit together and then build around it, mm-hmm. your team is going to get better. But right. when you're trying to mess with the core of the guys, you're still going to be a hit and miss, mm-hmm. I think.
So that was my next question. Why was this show so short-lived?
Yeah, man. Well, listen. Now, Nelly, I love you to death, and he knows. He crazy, too.
Yeah. Oh, no question.
You know what I mean? And at that time, Nelly was the general manager, and he was the coach.
Yeah.
And he drank a lot.
Him and Larry Riley.
Yeah, him and Larry Riley. So I think at that time, it didn't just happen with me. It also happened with Webb. I think, you know, he was just trying to mix and match.
Too much.
A little too much.
Yeah.
And that was heartbreaking, because that team was such a family-oriented team. And to leave there, that was tough. So I think it was so short-lived, but I wish we would have played together longer.
But that was great energy. Nelly was the type of dude that'll build a house and burn that motherfucker.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In the same day.
Oh, he got the match now. Yeah, yeah.
But it was crazy. People
know. We love you, Nelly. We know you watch.
Definitely love Nelly. Definitely love Nelly.
We love
Nelly. Used to come to practice in the morning with us when we were playing with either like a beer and his dog or coffee cup. But who knows? Ain't no telling. It might be Crown in the coffee cup.
Oh, man.
What was the dog name?
Oh, the little dog. He always had the little dog with. Oh, I miss it.
We have practice on one side. He just shitted on the court on this side. I'm like, come on, Nelly. Get your dog, bro. You can't do play on both sides. He just shitted on the
I remember we played Seattle, and that's at the time Olden Polynes was kind of like a bruiser, mm-hmm. and he was beating up on all of us, all the big men, and I remember Nelly put in a guy, he didn't play that much. He put him in and said, "Hey, I want you to foul out, foul and hit OP every time."
Love it.
Called him. Guy went in there and didn't foul OP not one time. And I'm like, oh, God. Oh, he in trouble. Oh, he in trouble. We after the game, my man said, "Man, I ain't gonna never ask you to do nothing." And I'm like, oh, shit. Next day, when we lose, Nelly used to run the shit out of him. Mm-hmm. So we get back to Oakland. And you know how he would, like, the starters would play 30, 40 minutes, and you sit on mm-hmm, down. Mm-hmm. He said, "Nope, nobody go to the locker room." So we got our ice bags, you know, watching the practice. He tell the guy, "Okay, let's go." He ran it for about 45 minutes. He ran it 45 minutes. We like, oh, my God, man. Yeah. Mm. And then at the end, he called everybody in and said, "Hey, man, everybody say goodbye to him." Cut him after
Ooh,
that, bro.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, my Ooh. God, boy, you didn't mess with Nelly, man.
You had one job, bro.
Yeah, one job. Just go in there and foul.
And with Nelly, you'll walk in the locker room and somebody will be gone. You don't even know. He done it, but I didn't see it.
Yeah, he gone.
I didn't see it.
Oh, he's gone. Yeah, it was ruthless back then.
You still got a relationship with Nelly and Mully? You talked to him?
I talked to Mully yesterday.
Okay,
yeah. We still talk. Every once in a while, Nelly, I mean, I have so much respect for him because I thought he was the best coach I ever had.
Same way.
You know what I mean? And also, I want to choke him.
Yeah, same, you know, same
right?
time.
You know what I mean? No question about it for trading me. So, so I didn't speak to him a long time when he traded me. But I do respect him as a coach. Yeah. I do respect him as a basketball mind. But yeah, that was a tough time.
We trying to get down there to see him and check up on him.
Yeah. I mean, when we see each other, we still talk. We have a good time. The love is there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, especially now, man. You got to get over a lot of little things. You know what I mean? To keep it moving. But it was tough.
You mentioned the devastation, you know, going a little up IA to Sacramento.
Yeah.
First thing you heard from your teammates was welcome to hell.
Yes.
But urban legend or truth, did you commute? Did you keep a crib in the Bay and just commuted to Sac?
I had just bought my house in Alameda.
Nice over there.
Yeah, beautiful. In the Bay. And I got traded to Sacramento. And I said, man, I'm not moving to Sac. I really felt I was still connected to that team. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And anytime they had parties at their house, I was
still there.
I was still there. You know what I mean? I would go to their thing.
Right.
And I commuted for like the first maybe 2 years, just going back and forth. I would get a hotel room. And but I lived in Oakland.
Mm. I was for the first 2 years you was playing in Sac?
First two and a half years I was playing in Sac, man. I lived in Oakland.
Who was the coach in Sac when you first went?
What is his name? Coached at
Jerry Reynolds?
No. Jerry was the GM at the time. He had moved up. It was a guy from Dallas, the older player. Man, I can't even think of his name because I wanted to choke him too.
From Dallas?
yeah, he was at Dallas.
Okay.
He had the older player, but he'll come to me. Older. No, Gary St. G was my man. That's my guy. But before him. I can't even think of his name. Dick Motta. Yeah. Dick Motta. Yeah.
You wasn't rocking with him?
Huh?
You didn't rock with Dick?
Pause.
I think at that time it was just tough, man. At that time because I came from Golden State.
Right.
And it was probably at the end of his career.
Say Richard next time?
Yeah. It was probably at the end of his career. And at that time it's just the styles. Wasn't the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wanted a more slow down pace. We didn't have the talent to play in the East. I mean, in the West at that time, at a slow down pace. At the time, West was very physical.
Mm-hmm. Did he coach a long time?
Huh?
No, he didn't coach. Yeah, because I never heard of him.
No. Oh, man, well, he had a great team.
He had coached.
Yeah, he had coached.
He was the
before
end of the
that,
with
but,
him.
But at Sacramento, he didn't play.
What was your first year in Sac? What year was that?
That was 93, think it was. 93.
So five straight All NBA teams. Mm-hmm. When you got to Sac,
93-98,
averaged 23 a game over that stretch, 40% from the field. I've known you for a long time, and obviously, you know, you're not a conceited person at all. But where did you put yourself in the hierarchy of two guards at that time when you were at the top of your game?
Right behind Mike.
I'm about to say, because you talk that shit to us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You talk that shit to us, and we get to messing with you.
Yeah. No doubt. I mean, I felt like I was there. I felt like I played both hands. And so for my whole career playing basketball, I've always won every team that I've been on. So going to Sacramento at the time and having and at the top of the top, you know, playing in the NBA and not having team success was very difficult. And you really kind of understand you need players with you.
Absolutely.
And not saying that we didn't have any players. We had young guys at that time. And back then, we were playing against grown men.
Who were some of the guys on the squad back during your run?
Lionel Simmons. Tyus Edney. We had Walt Williams.
The Wizard.
We had Brian Grant. Michael.
Michael Smith.
Yeah, that's when the team started getting better when we drafted Brian Grant, Michael Smith. We got OP from Detroit at the time, and I had been wanting to play with Peja, but Peja was overseas, and our team, you know, we had to pay to get him
to get
over
the player,
here.
Okay.
So we had drafted him 3-4 years, and I was waiting to play with him, but we couldn't get him over there to play. But we at time we got better, but we had some good young players. We just wasn't ready for the league at the time because it was grown men playing.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of
that. I'm like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Obviously, this is before player empowerment and guys could really even say anything about the situation. You just had to play it out. So were there ever talks about, I want to get out, or you would talk to management about it?
I would talk to management, but quietly.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me an opportunity to go somewhere else. And, and they just kept telling me, just wait. We're going to take care of you. We're going to take care of you. If you stay here, you're going to be a king forever. And just kept waiting around, and then they didn't want to take care of me.
Mm.
So it was tough. It was tough at that
time. 95 All-Star Game MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about that day and that game.
Oh, man, I was feeling it.
I was feeling it.
You know what I mean?
I was feeling it.
Yeah, I was feeling it. I say, man, every time I touch it, I'm gonna look at that ball. I'm gonna look at the basket.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Gary was feeding me. Mm-hmm. And Gary had a pretty good game that guy. I think he had like 12, 13 assists at that time. But it worked out for me. The guys was looking for him. And I think I went like 10 for 12 for the game.
What did you finish? 27?
23.
23?
23.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's all you need in All-Star game?
Yeah. It wasn't no 40, 50. You know, like they're doing now. But yeah, my 20.
Well, those All-Star games were like real. You guys really played.
Yeah, you played a little bit. Yeah. You played.
Especially in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question about it. Mm-hmm. No question about it. Yeah.
Ended up in Washington after SAC. Spent 3 years there with Ross Strickland, Juwan Howard, Ben Wallace.
Right.
Now, that's a solid team.
Yes.
Why didn't it work?
Man, I think sometimes you.
Those names? When you hear those names? When you look at that stat sheet?
No question. Yeah. Eddie Jordan.
Cool ass Eddie Jordan.
Eddie Jordan.
He more your homeboy than your coach.
Yeah, he was
my
man. Yeah. He was my uncle. Yeah, on paper we were great. You know what I mean? And I think at that time, you know, it's from the top on down.
Yeah.
You know, the organization was not on the same page at that time. And but
to this day.
To this day. Yeah. And then they having trouble over there. And that's one city will boo you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean? Chocolate City.
The Chocolate City is the one city that I think I had so much road rage and anger.
Yeah.
Because you will go out in DC and every dude think they can hoop.
Yeah.
Every dude think they better than you. You know what I mean? You will have arguments down the street like, man, I bust you. I mean, what, you don't do that. Man. Everywhere you went in DC, everybody thought that they could hoop. Everybody thought they could play for the Wizards. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody thought they could play for the Wizards, man. Yeah. Everywhere you went.
If it wasn't for my tender ACL, huh?
You know what I'm saying?
Everybody got a tender ACL this, like man. Mike.
Yeah. And the Wallow. I could have done this.
Wallow.
Oh, man.
Last stop, Lakers,
0-2.
Yes. You know, OG in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You get a chance to win a ring there.
Yeah.
In the midst of that Shaq and Kobe dynasty run, what did you see between them and Phil and just that organization on your way out?
Phil was very calm. They had won the championship 2 years before I got there. And I felt like my time was, you know, getting to an end. Had an opportunity to go to San Antonio, Dallas. Nelly was trying to get me back.
In Dallas.
I wanted to go to Dallas at the time. And I said, hey, man, I'm going to go to L.A. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They don't want it two years in a row.
San Antonio then.
Yeah, and J.R. Ryder was there the year before, so I was replacing him. And, I just – you know, decided that I was going to go to the Lakers. And Kobe and Shaq relationship was great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that team was that was another team that was really kind of
locked
they
in.
They didn't hang out,
but,
you know, they had the respect of you know, each other on the court. But it was a good time. No question, Phil was one of the best coaches to really kind of keep your poise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just keep you, you know, confident and try to work out situations on your own. He always tried to have those teams.
Figure it out.
You'll figure out. You know. You know what I mean? Me and my man was there. Oh, yeah. You was going to kill him. Yeah, you was going to kill him. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, we all wanted to kill him. You know what I mean? But at that time, I think, you know, for me, you were a younger player at the time, and I had got a little older. And so for me, it kind of helped me because when I was on top, I had players behind me that really supported me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I was like, this is the time for me to support the team.
Yep.
My time has passed. Mm. And so let me kind of support the team and just go along for the ride, man. So I felt like I could have done more. But, you know, hey, that was up to them. But, I enjoyed the team and I had a good time.
2002,
yeah.
I was in San Antonio.
Yeah.
And they was bringing in either you or Steve Smith to start. And I was backing up.
Exactly. Yeah.
Around that time.
And I was going to go to San Antonio after the Lakers.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I decided, man, to just sit
That's
it on down.
Yeah.
What did you see in Kobe at that time?
Hungry, man. Yeah, man. Just like, you know, they talk about the face. The same thing with Mike, you know, and especially the best scorers. Like, they wanted the ball so bad.
Yeah.
Like, I just had to have it. Like, anything I needed to do to get it, and he would fight his butt off to try to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the triangle. We were running the triangle. He knew ways to
cheat
get
it.
The ball.
He knew
ways.
Yeah, he'd cheat the triangle all the time.
Ways, especially when I'm coming in and learning it.
And if you really didn't know it, would fuck you up because he'd run right to your spot.
He would mesh up and he knew he'll have that ball on the right side and, you know, Shaq would come over and he wanted to get on that block. And he'll look and he'll pump fake there, throw it over there, run.
Yeah.
And run
to that and slice
it.
To that angle. So once he knew all the little nuances of the thing. But he was great. The one thing, you know, you respected about him, he did it in practice.
Put the work in.
You know what I mean? And he did it before anybody got there. He was the first one there working on his game. If anybody did a move on him, he was working on it.
Mm-hmm.
He was working on it that day. Mm. So Yeah, he was cool, man. We had a great relationship, and it was cool.
Oh. You had some one-on-ones?
No, we never did on one-on-ones. When I was at the end of my career, I wasn't doing all that.
Yeah, you wasn't doing all that?
Yeah, I was icing my knees.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Your relationship with Nike, Bacon, Air Max Uptempo, Jordan 16. Mm. Yeah. Talk about your relationship with Nike.
Oh, man, Nike. I came in with wearing Adidas. I wanted to go to Nike. And but the deal didn't work out at that time. And then I was at Adidas, I think, for my first 2 years. and then got with Nike. But everybody wanted to wear Nikes.
Everybody was wearing Adidas. A lot of people were wearing Adidas then, though.
Dylan, go back to that last picture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they used to take care of me, man. I had some nice, and I don't even know the names of the shoes. Uh-huh. Everybody like, man, what are them shoes? I said, man, I don't even know the name.
Air Bacon.
I don't even know the name of them.
Up tempos. Yeah, them shoes was hard.
And then I went to Jordan.
Yeah. You still in the Jordan family?
Every once in a while, I got to call them now, man. Send me a box.
Who you sound like, y'all?
Sound like me. Send me a box, man. That box used to come all the time.
I'm talking about every 2 months.
Send me a box, bro.
Obviously recognized as a Hall of Famer in 2014, but the transition sometimes is tough. What was your transition like from, okay, I'm done, to what's next, or time down, or family? Like, what was your transition?
I think it was easier for me because my years in Washington, Golden State had pursued me to come and play before I went to the Lakers. And I wanted to work in the front office. Okay. And so they was, at that time, Gary St. Jean was there. Mm-hmm. And we were going to try to work out like a 7 or 8 year deal.
Wow.
Where I play and then move into the front office. Mm-hmm. And I just felt at that time, I was like, well, I want to maximize my money as while I'm playing. Because it wasn't a big deal doing that 8 year deal.
Right.
So I said, let me play and I still want to come and work for you. So once I retired, I took off probably about a year and then I started working for Golden State. And worked for Golden State for a while, and that's when we got you guys over there. But yeah, it was an easy transition for me, I think, because I still was around it, but wasn't doing all of the traveling. It kind of implemented me a little bit where I can, be with my kids and be at some basketball games and do a lot of little stuff like that. So it was pretty cool.
People don't understand once you're towards the end of your career, the worst part of it is the traveling.
No question.
Because you're missing so much. You're always traveling. Man. Like, that was the reason after in Golden State when I won that last year.
Right.
I don't want to travel. I was missing so much time with my kids. And people don't understand that.
Yeah, you travel so much, you don't even know until you sit down.
Man.
And I can remember how, we used to travel great. Yeah. And all of a sudden, when you become a citizen, man, you got to go through the
TSA, waiting lines.
You're like, wait a minute, what's going on?
You can't have random check.
You got to do the random check. Yeah. I got to take my shoes off.
That was the one thing about Jack, too. Jack's bag on every Golden State plane made stunk the whole plane
and
up.
Then remember when we used to go to Canada? The whole team go there, and I'm still sitting in customs by 3 hours. They going through all my stuff, toothbrush, toothpaste, everything. I'm like, bro, it ain't that bad. I ain't killing nobody.
Hey, I ain't doing that.
I ain't doing
that
like that.
I just got to be a little stuff with me.
I was about to say, though, don't you know, like, we, like, as players, we know it's certain players during your NBA career that those guys that everybody cool with that like, during our career, he gonna be working.
Oh yeah,
he's gonna be working for an organization. You was one of those guys that everybody liked, everybody cool with.
Well, I think
he gonna be working for a team when his career done.
Like, you're the type of person to help bridge gaps.
Yes.
You still spoke our lingo, but then you could also speak the office lingo at the time.
And that's
important too, because not a lot of organizations have that or understand the importance of that. It's always kind of like a talk down situation, but when you have a Mitch there that can translate on a player's mind what we're trying to get to on a higher level, that shit goes a long way.
No, it was special, man, because I love to be around you guys, because I would come down all the time at the practice.
Yeah.
And I remember Jack asked me, came down to one practice, yo, man, because I think at the time somebody was telling you that they got you.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, who traded for me? I'm like, come on, Jack. We ain't going to do that.
We ain't going to do that.
Like, we ain't doing that, man. Come on, man. You know who got you.
You know, exactly.
Don't let nobody tell you. You know
who
got
took
you.
Credit, but we know
everybody
who traded
was scared
for
of you,
you,
bro.
Yeah,
we were scared to make that deal. We was like, man, come on. We need some fire, man.
Yeah.
Nah,
I'm glad we had you and Chris in the office.
Yeah, man.
Somebody with some experience.
Exactly.
When you sit back now as a Hall of Famer and the accolades you have, like, what comes to mind about your career?
I went so dang quick.
Fast, right? 14 years? 14?
14 years. Uh-huh. And if I look back, man, I retired 22 years ago.
Mm.
That's crazy. I can't fathom it. Mm-hmm. I know sometimes I wake up and be like, man, I got to go to a game.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I got a game tonight. Like, but then my legs feel that. that's a lie.
Then you try to put
that's a lie.
That's
first
a lie.
Step out of bed.
That's not true.
That's a lie.
Yeah. Man, nobody calling me. but it was good.
Do you feel in this current game right now is let's take LeBron out the picture because he's almost done. Who do you feel is, you know, best player, top two players in the game right now?
Oh, man, it's such a hard question because, you know, you got so many great players. I love Kevin Durant. I love what he he's one of those scorers. He's like Iceman.
Yep.
Like he can score from all across the court. He does it in so many ways. You know, we got to talk about Curry like he's one of one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I tell people all the time, Curry is the best, worst shot taker in the world. He makes them. And when you see him take shots now, you don't think, you're like, oh, man, that's a bad shot. No. You're like, man, is that going to go in? You know what I mean? So that takes practice. And I coached at St. John's. Coaching the younger players, they don't understand that. They just think Curry just stepped out of the bed.
I can do it too.
And I could do it too. And think about it. He doesn't look like he's that strong to shoot that way. Some people would have to throw that shot.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And for him to make that look like a shot is very remarkable. And then you got some young players coming with the young fella out at OKC.
Shay.
Oh, man, that's doing his thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I like
Ant-Man in Minnesota.
Yeah, I like Booker. I love Anthony Edwards.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. I love his swag, what he stands for. And he's continued to. I saw him as a sophomore in high school, and I was like, whoa. Back then, I thought he was going to be nice. It's so many great players, man.
A lot of talent.
A lot of talent that I like to watch. And see guys.
I think to speak to your point with Steph, my final year there, I used to really enjoy sitting and watching him and KD shoot after practice because everything that everyone thinks is a bad shot or might be luck, they work on it.
That's right.
The off balance, the offhand,
all
from deep, one-footed, falling out of bounds, like they train and shoot those shots on daily. Every single day I was there, him and KD after practice on the same court working on their stuff. You would see a 6'3 dude doing it, and you would see a 7-footer doing the same shit. It was unbelievable.
And you got to give – you know, Clay his respect as
well. Oh, absolutely. He would be on the other end and maybe miss three shots out of 100. Clay will shoot 100 shots after practice and miss two or three.
Yeah,
how do you feel about what Clay is going through now?
Man, I mean, he's handling it with grace. I know it's just like any player when you get to a point where they, you know, they put you on the bench. I think the organization is really trying to find find a way to make sure that they don't disrespect him. Anyway, but I think, you know, he had a good game the other night. For me, I always said I think what would help him, man, and I love him to death, I think, you know, getting some inside shots, you know what I mean, and not, you know, relying on all just the three-point shot, I think would help him. But I love Clay, man, one of the guys that I remember Mark Jackson said it years ago that they were the best two shooters that he's seen.
World.
And we were like, man, come on, man. What are you talking about? And then now
you see it.
That's true. And Mark made that statement when it wasn't popular.
When they were babies.
Yeah, when they were baby. And I agree with him. Best two shooters.
Oof.
Did Mully bring Rico and you to St. John's when he was there?
No, Rico was there before.
Was with Lav.
Rico was there with Lav.
But I remember Rico was saying something about going back when Mully was there.
Yeah, he was there. I think they had talked about it at one point in time. It didn't work out.
Shout out Rico, man.
He's doing his thing, man.
Next 2 years, three years, man. People don't understand his knowledge of the game and been around the game and the way people gravitate to him and respect him. Because I feel like, Mitch, and you know because you've been around the game.
Yeah.
To me, these days, it's less about X and O's. It's more about relating to the players.
No question about it.
Can you get these players to believe in the ultimate team goal? Mm-hmm. And Rico's one of the best in the world at doing that.
Yeah, and we were the one we were the first ones who hired Rico.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, we were the first one who's hired Rico at Golden State because we saw that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He had a great relationship with Barron at the time and all you guys, and he was working out players way then. So, you know, we feel good about that. We gave him a start.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Al and Rico, birthday on the same day.
Al, too?
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Al. Fellas. Al here
in same day. Man, I was with Al last night.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
You didn't say nothing about it.
Yeah. Well, Mitch, we appreciate you. This is the last home stretch now, so first thing to come to mind, let us know. We're going to start you off with a tough one.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Top five shooting guards of all time.
Oh, man.
And you better be in there.
I'm in there.
Okay.
No question about that.
Yeah.
No cool question, MJ. Who else you got? You got Kobe, no question. You got D Wade. You got me and Clyde.
Ooh, there you go. I was gonna say he put Clyde in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good call.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, come on, man.
You gave you five.
You gave me five. Well, I put it this way. Usually they would have me out of there. They have Reggie in there. So I put myself in there.
So since we're in Indiana, just give us your opinion on Reggie Miller.
Tough, man. He was a tough player. He was different from any other guy because you couldn't give him space.
Yeah.
And he was a dead-eye shooter. And so he would run you around so many screens. I can remember the first time I played Reggie. I don't know. He wouldn't cut his nails or something. I don't know.
Like Rip Hamilton.
Yeah, boy, he scratched.
They're identical.
He scratched me up so bad the first time I played. And then I remember I said, Reggie, I didn't say Reggie to him, but I said it to myself. I'm not going to cut my nails next time I see him.
Tear your ass up.
Yeah, I'm going to do the same thing. You know what I mean? He's going to scratch me like that.
Yeah.
I bruise easy. You know what I mean? So I had to make sure I didn't got cut my nails. You know?
Do that.
Yeah, but no, Reggie's a good friend too. Great player.
Yeah.
We played on an Olympic team together. Had some great battles. But we got a lot of respect.
Mm-hmm. Childhood crush.
Oh, Janet Jackson.
Janet.
Ooh. Oh, man, I remember Janet Jackson Penny? Came. Janet Jackson came to Lauderhill Mall, bro.
Penny, huh?
What mall?
She came to Lauderhill Mall in Florida? Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Uh-huh. How old were you?
Man, I don't know. I can't remember, man. But I know she was looking at me.
That was flat top Mitch, too, right?
No, I had some waves.
Oh, yeah, waves back then? Okay.
Yeah, I ain't get the curl until I got the Golden State. You know what I mean? She was looking at me. Just couldn't get that eye contact.
That's good.
You know
what I mean? That's funny.
Yeah.
The next question is best basketball shoe, but you said you didn't really pay attention to shoes, so I'm going to flip it.
Okay.
What's your one album that you could play from front to back?
Mm.
Oh, man. Let's see. Definitely the Run DMC album. Mm. It was so many at that time. Let's see. LL Cool J. Mm-hmm. I keep going back to him, but. No, LL was nice. Cool Mo D.
Cool Mo D was tough.
Cool Mo D.
Wild Wild West.
Yeah, come on, man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we all played the NWA album back and forth, you know.
I love when BDK and LL was going at it.
Oh, yeah, man. That was hip hop right there, boy. Yeah. That was good.
Most underrated player of your generation?
Underrated player. Me.
I was gonna say
yourself.
Lee.
Yeah. Lee. There we go.
Facts.
Yeah.
Guilty pleasure.
Oh man, I used to love vanilla ice cream. I don't eat that no more. I'm a plant based now.
Are you?
Yeah.
How is that?
I went plant based about 8 years ago. I love it, man.
Now, okay.
Yeah. I love it, man.
You can feel it.
I can feel it, man. And no joints hurt.
You look good, bro.
So like, no I meat, it. No like, nothing.
No
huh?
meat, no nothing. Yeah, bro. I eat a lot though, but just working out, just having a good time.
So you don't want none of that good old soul food back there, huh?
Man, I
love
it.
Salad?
I wish I could, but I know you guys have a good time.
Got your salad over there.
Yeah, I got a little salad.
Oh my bad, that was your question.
It's hard to get some plant based food in Indiana.
Shoot, ain't too many plants out here.
Yeah, I ain't been eating nothing but hummus.
I love hummus.
Hummus good.
A good pita bread.
Yeah,
one thing hummus. You wish you were better at.
One thing I wish I was better at. I always said that if I didn't play ball, I was gonna be a singer.
Everybody's saying
so
that.
If I R&B? Was better at R&B.
Oh, you got some
R&B.
So R&B thugs.
Yeah, I wish I was a better singer because I'm really good in the shower.
Everybody is.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm good.
If you could see one guest on our show, who would it be?
But
you have to help us get your answer on the show.
I have to get my what?
You have to help us get the answer. Somebody you know.
Okay, somebody know. Okay.
I haven't been on here that you know real
haven't
well.
Haven't been on here. Let's see who would that be. Man.
Mully, Tim, there's a few.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Mully and Tim ain't been on there yet?
No, and I just seen Tim at the airport.
What? Yeah. Oh, no.
You got his number, too.
You
got
to get Tim Bug on here. He's in town.
Oh,
I would help with that.
Texas two-step.
Yeah, I would help with that. And Mully.
Yeah.
Mully got some stories, too.
Oh, Mully got some stories.
Yeah.
Mully got some stories.
Well, Mitch, man, we appreciate your time. Thank you for coming through. And obviously, like I said, we always a lot of respect for your game. And we're, you know, the real ones know.
I appreciate you, bro.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, man.
Yes, sir.
Mitch Richmond.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox